The Pint of Science adventures continue ever onwards, and we're delighted to welcome now from the School of Geography, the awesome Josephine Westlake. Jo, good to see you.
Hello.
Pint of Science, obviously happening in a few days' time, depending on when people have actually downloaded this podcast, or if they're time travelling, it might have already happened. What are you actually doing for Pint of Science?
So I'm doing a presentation based on my research into flooding and flood risk, using sedimentary archives to support that research.
Huge critical aspects there. We were talking to Duncan French in an earlier podcast, which very much addresses the whole issue of this global area. We've obviously got the extinction agenda that's online and so on. Clearly, there are still viewpoints here, so there are still climate change deniers, unbelievably. But what attracted it as an area of study for yourself?
Well, I'm very interested in geophysical hazards of all kinds, so everything from earthquakes, volcanoes, and obviously the flood events, and their impacts on human civilization. In terms of global warming and climate change, you've obviously got the concerns over increases of these severe events, and what I'm looking at is the possibility that the historical records that we've got and the sedimentary archives might be able to support the research that's already been done on flood frequency and see if we can improve that.
The whole notion of time and the way in which time sort of passes by from Jurassic eras to, I think we're in the Homeozoic era today, or the official, I think Duncan had a wonderful name for the sort of that. It's the first time humanity is having an impact on the environment.
Yeah, we've got the Anthropocene.
Anthropocene, no, exactly. As in anthropological. I knew there was a humanity sort of aspect in there. But in terms of the Anthropocene, etc., is it something which is rescuable, or should we basically just hunker down now?
Well, I think the Anthropocene and when it began is quite under debate at the moment. So there's research by my supervisor, Professor Mark Macklin. He's done quite a lot of research on the Anthropocene and the impact of climate change on flood events. And it's looking like the time when this has started to really take off as being a problem is actually relatively recent. Mm. Sort of in the last decade or so that this has become a real problem. We're seeing a real acceleration in these changes.
We've also heard a great deal about a possible dramatic solution, such as refreezing the Arctic. I've heard that sort of mentioned in a whole stack of other things, as is inevitable, because one of the things about science, and I think this is going to be addressed in part by the Pint of Science Festival, that actually sometimes people maybe get a bit too carried away with the fantasy elements of science as opposed to the hard-born aspects of science.
Yeah, I think that it's really important to look at the original data and to use that. And obviously this idea of fake news and things on the internet is a really big issue. And people are starting to take what is on the internet verbatim rather than looking into it themselves. Mm. And I think that's a real problem because obviously a lot of data can be quite easily manipulated to whatever purpose you want. So I think it's really important to actually listen to the experts who really know what they're talking about, researchers, rather than politicians a lot of the time.
Fair point. We won't get any more political, I promise. But let's talk more about the Pint of Science and your own connection with that. What sort of things can the audience expect to hear from you?
Well, I'm going to be talking about my research into flood frequency and primarily looking at the inclusion of sedimentary archives, which are where sediments deposited by rivers, and how we can use those to improve our understanding of historical flood events and also perhaps contribute to archaeological and historical research.
You've raised two really key and interesting aspects there, because collaboration is something which has kind of gone, I suppose, around various circles in terms of popularity, because I come from an era where basically chemists did not speak to physicists. Physicists did not really speak to biologists, and certainly neither physicists, biologists, or indeed chemists would ever speak to sociologists or psychologists. Geographers, I think, were somewhere in between in that sort of basis. Do you feel actually in the second decade of the 21st century, we are realizing that actually the synergy we can get from collaboration is actually much more profound and impactful than actually saying we're all working in our little silos and we're not connecting?
Absolutely. I think that the interdisciplinary research is key to actually taking the science forward. For example, the work on the Foss Dyke that I've been looking at, which I'll be presenting about next week, is of particular interest because nobody really knows when it was actually built. So most people believe it was built by the Romans, but some historians are beginning to question that due to the lack of supporting evidence. My research findings actually suggest the canal may be far older than originally thought.
Which obviously ties in with our historical colleagues and so on. I know one of my former colleagues, Andrew Walker, who has produced a series of guides and various other things on Lincoln, would be fascinated in that. He's now at another institution, of course. But what are you most looking forward to yourself about the whole festival? I mean, is it a case of, no, we're in the marking season, I don't have time to actually go and check anything else from that point of view? Or would you be checking out some of the other talks?
I think I've got a slightly better position than some of the people doing the Pint of Science Festival, because I'm a PhD researcher. So it means that I've got relatively more flexible time than they have with marking and exams. So I'm really looking forward to going. I'm going to go along on the Monday and go and look at some of the other presentations. And then obviously I've got my presentation on the Thursday at the Pessimist. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to the talk before me, which is on astrophysics. So
it's interesting. I was speaking, say, to Barry Turner and colleagues about sort of the aspects they're putting together in terms of this. Have you attended any Pint of Science festivals before, or is this a first?
I have not, no. I didn't know anything about them until the University of Lincoln started them up, and then I've obviously realised that they're actually an international event. And I think that's what's so amazing, is that on these three nights all around the world, you've got the same kind of presentations going on. Simultaneously, it's going to be quite amazing.
Details, Joe, in terms of if there are, and I can't believe there will be many tickets available, if there are one or two tickets available, how can people actually find out details for your own festival thing? Or just time and venue, please. You obviously given the venue, the Pessimist, and so on.
Yeah, so we're at the Pessimist in Lincoln, and I think it starts around 7:30. But if you can get the tickets online, you can look on the University of Lincoln website. There's a nice big link on the first page. And we look forward to seeing you there. There'll also be some fantastic quizzes and games in the intermission between the presentations.
Yes, I've heard it said that there's one little quiz which is going to incorporate Star Trek Planet's fact or fiction, which I was particularly looking forward to. I'm not sure I'll be able to make that, but what the heck.
Yes, that's a really good one. And the other one is one that I've made, which is to do with rivers and actually seeing if you can name the rivers and where they actually are on the world.
I was just going to say, I immediately sort of go a flashback there to what was GCSE geography and Sunwack and Swale U and Nid, Warfare, Calder, etc. But it's become a lot more sophisticated since then.
Yeah, we're going for the more of the bigger, more recognisable rivers. We thought about looking at the local ones, but they look quite similar. So we're going for sort of big global rivers, which is what the Lincoln Centre for Water and Planetary Health here is actually all about.
So I'm sensing, not that I'm obviously giving any sort of teases away here, possibly Ganges, possibly Nile, possibly Amazon.
I think you're on the right track there.
Joe, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self. Many thanks indeed.
Thank you very much.